broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Veterans Connect Radio. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Skolnick and Ryan Redhawk. Here we are back again in the Business Radio X studios in Sandy Springs, the flagship studio for another episode of Veterans Connect Radio. This is episode 21. I'm Ryan Redhawk, and that is Skolnick.
Yeah, Brandon Skolnick.
Yeah, or yeah. BS, as some BS, people call him.
That's true. A whole family line of BSs.
Well, what have you been up to, Brandon?
Well, you know, I've been hanging out. I had a ugly Christmas sweater party this
weekend. I was in attendance.
You were, yeah. I did not win. But that's okay.
Did I win? Because I just sure didn't get any prizes.
Yeah, I think you skipped out early.
I did have to leave early, but yeah. It was a good time.
Yes, it was.
Everybody was wearing crazy sweaters, with lights on them, yep. And all kinds of foul language and everything. It was great.
Yeah, I think one of those was you, but that's all right. but I think some young woman won that had all kinds of garland and ball ornaments.
Yeah. I saw she was the winner. As soon as she walked in the door, I said, she will win.
She will win. And she had like matching crazy hair.
It was homemade. And all the bits. So, well, that's good. And so that was a great party. Yeah. And it is the holiday season for parties. So hopefully you're out there enjoying holiday parties. And come on here on Veterans Connect Radio. Let's remind our listeners to join us on Veterans Connect Radio on Twitter at Vet Connect Radio. Make sure you're following us there. And you can also use the hashtag Vet Connect. We'd like to use that. Follow us on Facebook. We'll be taking some pictures of our in-studio guests here today. And we will be sharing some of their social media as well. So a little bit later on the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Banana Daniels with VYD and Associates. But first up on Veterans Connect Radio, it's my pleasure to introduce President and Founder of Government Contractors Assistance and Resource Line LLC, or GCARL, Mr. Carl Gibo. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
All right, my pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your backstory, Carl. Where are you from?
Sure. I grew up in the Northeast. I was born in Connecticut and kind of bounced around there with high school outside of Philly, then made my way to Notre Dame, home of the Fighting Irish, for undergrad, where I was on an Army ROTC scholarship.
Okay, wow.
And from there, I went into the Army, served my time there as an Army helicopter pilot.
What all did you fly?
I flew scouts. OH-58s, first at Fort Rucker or Mother Rucker.
Yes, that's where all the helicopter pilots go, Fort Rucker.
And then to, I was in Korea, where I was an attack helicopter battalion, scout platoon leader. From there, came back, went to jump school at Benning, then to Fort Bragg, and then from there, visited every swamp on the eastern seaboard for training.
Sure. Yes.
And every desert that we have. And then got to go to Panama for Operation Just Cause, and then to Saudi Arabia and Iraq for Desert Shield and Desert Storm.
Well, let me just stop you right there and back up for a second. You went on an ROTC scholarship.
Yeah.
So you were so good at ROTC in high school, they said, come to our college.
Well, yes. My high school was Valley Forge Military Academy.
I see.
Which for some of the older folks might know, that's where they filmed the movie Taps.
Oh, wow.
Which was with...
Timothy Hutton, was that?
Yes,
that?
Yes. Timothy Hutton.
I remember that movie.
And Tom Cruise made his debut there.
That was a great movie. They had to defend the school.
Yeah, it was called Bunker Hill Military Academy. It was filmed at Valley Forge, where I went to school. We had a junior ROTC program there, which helped me at the ROTC program at Notre Dame.
So once you got there on a scholarship, graduated from there, then on to the Army as a pilot.
Yeah, I don't think you meet very many people that have actually gone through the junior ROTC, the ROTC, and then actually went and followed through with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I meet a lot of people that say, I went to ROTC.
Maybe did it for a year, right?
And never went through.
But you were like really all in. What do you attribute that to, your dedication? Was that from an early age?
Well, when I was in middle school and high school, I was kind of a sarcastic wise ass. My parents kind of thought I could use with a little more discipline than they were applying. So I kind of found my way to military school. I also was pretty good at gymnastics, oddly. Can't tell that by looking at me now. But they had a really, really good gymnastics program. And so I went there for the discipline, but also to get involved with that gymnastics coach.
Wow.
Well, the coach retired after my freshman year. But I stayed.
Okay.
So I went for the gymnastics, stayed for the discipline, went through their JROTC, and that helped me get the scholarship to Notre Dame.
Right.
Wow.
And then, like you back, you said to the Army time, 6 years in the Army, all over, yeah, doing different roles in different places. But
yeah, was in, like I said, at Fort Bragg, then to Panama, did some time in Saudi Arabia, came back from the desert in the Middle East, and had about a little less than a year before I was going to go to law school.
Okay.
And spent part of that time at the Presidio in San Francisco on the all-Army soccer team. So it didn't have too harsh of duty after I got back from the Big Sandbox, playing soccer in Golden Gate Park.
For the Army.
For the Army.
Man, yes. That's cool. A lot of fun. I didn't know they had a soccer team, man.
Yep. Do they still have a soccer team?
Yes, every year they have all-Army sports teams in a number of different athletics, and they play against the different militaries, teams, and then they will often play in international competitions.
Right.
Against different countries' military athletic teams.
I knew they had a softball team. They came to our installation once when I was in Germany, the all-Army softball team. Man, those guys could play and put on like a little demo for us. And so got out, went to law school. Yes. And what kind of practice did you study there?
Well, my study wasn't really focused. It was kind of a general approach to the law, and was preparing basically to take the bar exam. And at the time, because I was accruing law school debt, I knew I had to get a paying gig after law school, and got a job at a firm here in Atlanta, which is one of the largest and oldest Atlanta-based firms at the time, and happened to luck up and found a guy who was a former Army helicopter pilot from Vietnam, who proved to be my mentor.
Wow.
He was actually one of the characters featured in a book called Chicken Hawk, which was about Army helicopter pilots in Vietnam. So I started right away in government contracting. So that was my practice.
Was it your desired kind of area to land on, but it just happened to be that?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because he and I had very similar backgrounds. We could speak the language.
Right.
And in government contracting, knowing the language is I don't say half the battle, but it's a good part of the battle is learning the language, and it helps you with just having credibility.
Yeah, and having something in common with someone else, as deep as that is, military service, or especially y'all having the same occupation.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was where I got my initiation, and that was in 95, and I've been working with government contracts and government contractors in some capacity ever since.
Yeah, over 20 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about GCARL. What are you doing for folks?
Okay. So what GCARL is we help businesses that are new to government contracting or that want to get bigger in government contracting win, keep, and profit from government contracts by giving them the tools to be on a level playing field with the government and with larger and more experienced companies. There's tremendous opportunities for small businesses and businesses that are not yet in the government contracting space. Before I came over, I hopped on the database for federal government opportunities. And these are the kinds of things that the federal, in the past 60 days, that the government is advertising that they will buy from small businesses only from small businesses: pest control, ophthalmology services, laundry, software, housekeeping services, facility rentals, administrative services, maintenance services in cemeteries, transportation, publication subscription services, maintenance, construction, and drug testing, and also decorative swords.
Decorative swords.
Decorative swords. What does that imply?
Yeah. So that would be what you would imagine they would have at the military academies that they would use on parade, but also the kinds of things that units sometimes give away, particularly cavalry units, when people
Retiring.
Hail and farewell.
Yeah.
They would give to departing top sergeants right. and to commanders as going away presents. So those kinds of things is just a short list mm-hmm. in just the past 60 days
wow.
that shows you that the federal government buys just about anything you can imagine.
Well, what really jumps off to me about that list, Brandon, is the fact that these are just basic businesses.
Oh, yeah.
It's not rocket science.
No, and it sounds like a lot of these small businesses can kind of wrap their heads around some of this
housekeeping.
Stuff. Yeah, right. Housekeeping.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the kind of thing is if you're a veteran and you're coming out of the services and you are looking to start your own business, you really do yourself a disservice if you don't at least consider selling to the government. Mm. I mean, take a good long look at it and see whether or not it makes sense. Now, it doesn't work for every business,
right.
but for many businesses, they never even consider it. And from this very short list, it's obvious that there may be opportunities. And this is just federal. This is not even going to state and local.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. And now, so what are some of those things that G. Carl does specifically, like beyond financing, what are some of those things that you help coach them? Or
right, absolutely. What we do is kind of soup to nuts. So okay. you have someone who has a business already, and they mm-hmm. want to get into government contracting. We will help them if they qualify to get certification
okay.
as a disabled veteran-owned small business or a woman-owned small business. We'll then help them navigate their way to find the opportunity and to structure their proposal to win the contract.
Okay.
We'll help them understand what their compliance requirements are. We'll help them understand what their performance requirements are when they look at that first contract. We'll also help them get into those strategic relationships that they may need. Mm. For example, with accountants or bookkeepers, with risk managers and insurance companies, with accountants that know government contracting. We have those relationships to help them partner. We can also help them find subcontractors or to form joint ventures to aggregate their abilities to go after bigger contracts. Mm. So we've had clients that they were going after nice size contracts that were, a couple hundred thousand, half million. Well, we helped formed a joint venture which qualified as a service disabled veteran owned small business. And they went after and came like within a hair's breadth of winning a $35 million contract.
Wow.
On their very first bid out of the box as that joint venture came second by just a hair.
And wow. Do you know why they weren't awarded the contract?
Yeah, we do. And it wasn't because of their experience. It wasn't because of the proposal. It was because of their price.
Really? And, which is totally reason. That's business.
Yeah, that's business.
That's business,
and,
yeah.
And they got a debriefing and they learned that you were just off on price by this amount. So they'd be better prepared for the next one that they did.
Absolutely.
But that's taking a company that is bidding on, $100,000, $200,000 contracts and then pairing them with another slightly larger company mm-hmm. that has maybe greater bonding capacity or a little better experience than them and saying, now we can go and like hunt whales.
Right.
And not just like sardines.
Right. Yes, of course.
Well, dealing with the federal government, I imagine a lot of people just envision this as a big hairy monster that's so hard to tackle. And, that's probably what keeps them from taking their housekeeping or landscaping services to try to get into federal.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone like that first step to let them know that this they can do this?
Okay, well, the first step is like, I know that for a lot, particularly a lot of veterans, there was something that you encountered in the military, whatever branch you were in, that you didn't think you were going to be able to do. Whether it was, get through an obstacle course or pass marksmanship or figure out how to work a radio or disassemble, an M16 or an M60 within, whatever the time limit was. You ultimately did that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought I was never going to be able to figure out how to hover a helicopter, right? Mm. That thing was, they call it a hover button. I figured I was never going to find it.
Really?
Right. It was just elusive.
Because you're working your feet, your hands, yes. your eyes, your ears. I mean, your whole senses.
Oh, yeah.
When you're flying a helicopter.
Yeah. Everyone has kind of like a nickname. And one of my nicknames was Stress. So
okay.
It took a while for me to get that hover button, but I finally did.
That's awesome.
If you can do, think about the hardest thing you ever had to master or conquer in uniform, learning government contracts and being able be successful in government contracts is easier than that.
Really?
Thing.
Because in my mind, it's
That's
not.
Great.
I envision it as this really, you know, like, all right, say, for example, we've got this radio show here, and I would like to see if the government is looking for radio, you know, internet radio. How would I do that? Or what is this even a viable thing that the government could possibly use?
You know, absolutely. And there's all kinds of government. So there's federal government, there's state and local, but there's also anywhere where that government money goes, you should think of that as a government contract. So if there's money flowing to Kennesaw State, if there's money flowing to Georgia Tech for outreach, for education, there's going to be compliance requirements and regulations that touch on that. So yeah, there could be grant money. Hmm. There could be other kinds of money or contracts for them to say, oh, we want people to help educate or to help publicize or to help get the word out about these kinds of programs. And if you are veteran-owned or disabled veteran-owned or minority-owned or woman-owned and certified in those statuses, then there very well could be opportunities. Now, just like in the military, you didn't learn how to, you serve a M60 by yourself. You had a drill instructor, or
right.
you had, you know, I had a
mentor,
a flight instructor. The same thing in government contracting. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's plenty of free information out there. There are great folks over at the Georgia Tech Procurement Assistance Center. There are great people at the SBA in downtown Atlanta that can help folks out, and a lot of that information is free.
Mm-hmm.
What I find sometimes is that for small businesses, you don't have time to learn and to do, right? To learn and do at the same time
right.
is a heavy task to master. So if you can find someone like G. Carl, you can partner with us and we can do it with you. In some instances, it makes sense for us to do it for you and take that off your plate.
Okay.
Or you can do it and we can help you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you're learning. So the first time you do it, it's a little bit rough, but then you own it.
Hmm.
You have that knowledge. You know how to do it the next time around. That's what we're all about, is like instruction, education, training, and coaching, so that these small businesses can grow and learn to become bigger and better businesses, not just necessarily in a vacuum, but they can be better partners with the government.
Right.
Because they're servicing, in many instances, if they have contracts with the VA, the pest control is at a veteran facility. Okay, well, I don't want our vets to be in a facility that's got pests running around.
No, right, of course.
Doing a good job. If they're doing, ophthalmology or they're doing medical laundry at a VA hospital, I want that to be a quality contractor that's providing those services. So the better that we can get our clients to function as good contractors or good subcontractors to larger businesses, the better service they're going to provide to the users of those facilities or the recipients of those services through the VA.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to kind of view your work. So you're starting at the end, the person that's going to receive it, and you're walking it back, and your own quality control for those people that you serve, the clients you serve, is to make sure that their end user is serviced well.
Oh, absolutely. So because if you are performing your services well, that's going to pay dividends for the people that are receiving, but also as a business, you're going to get good performance reviews and you're going to get more work and get more contracts. The more contracts you get, the more money you make, the more people you can hire, the better for your business, the better for your community. And you're finding more and more in the city of Atlanta and in other municipalities, the light bulb is going on over people's heads. And they're saying, well, we've just been through a pretty bad recession.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was some money from the federal government that was designed to help a bunch of folks. Where'd that money go? Well, a lot of it went to banks. A lot of it went to some people. Didn't come to me.
Right.
So we kind of have to look out for ourselves.
Of course.
And so the cities and the counties, and they're saying, look, if we can help small businesses, particularly woman-owned, minority-owned, veteran-owned small businesses, we're helping our communities. these are the folks who are, they might be a sole proprietorship, they mm-hmm. might be a two or three member LLC. If we give them work, if they can do the work, they'll hire people.
Yep.
They hire people in our community. Those people will have jobs, they'll mm-hmm. have money, they'll buy houses, they'll shop, they'll stay here, it'll yep. strengthen our community. Mm-hmm. So the movement is starting, and you're seeing this understanding that we can help ourselves mm. by looking to support our small businesses, not just by giving them to the largest employers in the area, but to the small businesses, because they do the most with the opportunities that they're given.
Hmm. That's awesome.
They don't have to return, you know, dividends to shareholders.
Yeah. That are not in that community.
Right.
No, not yeah. at all. Well, that's great work, and I know you are helping so many veterans and bringing a lot to the veteran community here in Atlanta, and you know, kind of opening the eyes up of businesses that there is space for them to operate in other than just their neighborhood or their market. You know, the federal government is looking for perhaps businesses that, you know, we know of the people out there. So if our listeners want to learn more about you and get in touch with you, perhaps utilize your services, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. You can start at our website, which is gcarl.com. And we're also on Facebook and on Twitter, and that's at GCarlGovCon. It's very simple.
Yeah, at GCarlGovCon, and Carl's on LinkedIn. That's how we connected.
Yep,
I saw him on LinkedIn. I read his bio. So this is a guy I need to know, and this is a guy that needs to be on our show, because yes, I know our course. Listeners and our audience are thinking about these things, and you offer a wealth of knowledge to help educate them and steer them in the right direction to you know, take their business to the next level.
Well, absolutely. And our motto is to help, you know, businesses win, keep, and profit from government contracts. We are in the business of helping small businesses get bigger. We don't put small businesses out of business. We help them stay in business and get bigger. And there are a lot of folks out there call themselves consultants. There are a lot of folks out there selling products and packages, and you have to be very, very careful. Make sure, folks, that when you're talking to people who are claiming that they're going to help you, that they understand what your needs are, and they're willing to meet you where you are and give you what you need, not just what they already have prepackaged and are ready to sell you.
Interesting.
Yeah, do your homework, folks, for sure. Well, thank you so much for Carl for joining us. Can you stick around with us as we visit
sure.
with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Please welcome back to the Business Radio X microphone, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, from BYD and Associates, Vanetta Daniels. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. So tell us, what have you been up to since last time we visited?
Well, actually, I'm listening to our other guests here. I'm also from Connecticut, so I found that.
Oh, okay.
Nice. I found that kind of interesting.
We did that on purpose.
Yeah,
I know.
Right. We planned
it
that way.
I know. So, and I was also in 6 years. So
that's right. You were in the Air Force,
I was
right?
in the Air Force.
Yes.
Yeah.
What'd you do in the Air Force?
I was an aircraft electrician. So I fixed, I fixed planes. He, you know.
You flew them.
I fixed. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, since last being here, so I've recently, in the beginning of this year, become a part of the DeKalb Veterans Affairs Advisory Board. And we are currently engaged doing some work for the Small Business Administration, researching issues specific to women veteran entrepreneurs, and so which amongst the entrepreneurship community are the fastest growing demographic. Women, the rate of business startup from women entrepreneurs has increased almost 300% since 2007.
I had no idea.
And so, simultaneously, the number of new businesses by male veterans has been decreasing as well during that time. And so veterans tend to be much more entrepreneurial than the general population. And so to kind of piggyback on some of your earlier points, it really is important that, you know, veterans who've been such a big part of the small business startup community, and as you know, a good portion of our economy is fueled by small businesses. Small businesses are actually more of the job creators, contrary to popular belief. Mm-hmm. And so there, we really do have, you know, for even just an ability to keep a sustained economy, it needs to be a good environment where small businesses and especially veteran-owned businesses, can succeed and thrive. And so we are actually still engaged on that work. So
that's great.
Stay tuned.
And that's part through your company or you personally?
So it's through my company. So we are a service-disabled veteran-owned business, not exclusively doing work in the federal space, but we have done, in addition to Small Business Administration, we've done some work for Department of Labor, doing research, gap analysis, and policy recommendations specific to women veterans and unemployment. And so this is very similar work in scope where we're looking at a specific population within the entrepreneurship community, and this is specifically women veterans, to provide kind of a current state assessment of, okay, what are their revenues looking at like? What are their receipts? How do they differ from women-owned businesses as well as, you know, the rest of the veteran population? And, you know, what recommendations can we make to potentially, you know, provide, to make improvements? A lot of the information out there is not, it's very hard to pinpoint it to women veteran entrepreneurs. A lot of times you'll find research with one group or the other. But, you know, there is enough out there, and we're using a lot of the census data and a survey of small business owners and a lot of things that are just very data-driven to figure out, okay, well what does that current state look like? We're also, I personally am also involved with, agreed to participate in an advisory committee for Cesar Mitchell, focusing both on the veteran community as well as small businesses.
For the city of Atlanta.
Yes, for the city of Atlanta.
Cesar Mitchell works directly with the mayor, right?
Yes, he does. Yes.
And I think he may be running for the next term or something. So,
yes,
so that's a good guy to know.
Well, I've known him for quite some time. I'm also an AmeriCorps fellow.
Okay.
And God, how many years ago was that? Did AmeriCorps and what is now the Points of Light Foundation. Back then it was Hands On Network. And at the time he was on the board of Hands On Atlanta. So I've known him for quite some time. I feel like if you live in Atlanta long enough, it's kind of a big small town.
It is. There's a lot of little cities all coming together as one major metropolitan area here in Atlanta. So so let's go back up a little bit. You were in the Air Force. You transitioned out. You did some time in corporate America.
I did. So I got out and moved to Atlanta to go to Emory. And so worked actually for Emory in public health, and as well as in the medical school. So one was kind of on the public, implementing public health project side, and then the other side was more drawdown on grants. Mm-hmm. And then I also did my AmeriCorps fellowship during that time, and then went into consulting, originally with Bearing Point. So I was in their aerospace and defense practice. So I was the PMO for the C5 modernization project out at Lockheed here in Marietta. Mm. And then went to the CDC, originally with Bearing Point at the time. So the CDC has reorged a number of times since then. But originally, they were standing up what was then the National Center for Public Health Informatics. And so we were helping them implement business practices and implementing a PMO, helping them figure out their budget. Mm-hmm. Then was recruited to Pricewaterhouse, and so worked in the Office of Strategy as well as their IT shop there, doing a lot of, you know, strategy, PMO stand-up work, did some commercial projects in aerospace and defense at Hamilton Sundstrand. So, you know, while everybody else was like, why are we going to Connecticut in the middle of the winter? I was like, oh, free trip home. did some financial services projects with FDIC. At the time, you know, there were a number of bank closures at the time. Yes. And so they just didn't have the capacity, and they were, you know, using a lot of the consulting firms to really assist with that, and then was recruited into SunTrust in their corporate PMO as well. And so was actually at SunTrust when I decided to kind of take a leap of faith.
Well, that's where I wanted to land on here, this time where you were going a very successful, accomplished career, you know, and then you said, well, there's something more for me. And then that something more was starting your own business.
Yeah,
take us back to that time frame.
So I had actually incorporated it and just was kind of figuring out, I figured I'd do my learning while I had a corporate career and, you know, figure out what I wanted to do with it. And it was just, it was just a strange personal circumstance. I had had a pretty major surgery and was out for a while. And during that time, I actually ran into a friend of mine who is also an Emory alum, who was looking for a looking for a contractor. And they were just like, hey, if you know anyone good. So I actually ran into him at Target with my parents. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you know, we're thinking maybe if we could do some kind of borrowed executive program. And I was still a SunTrust at the time. And I said, well, I don't know how that would work, but, you know, I don't know if they can let you borrow one for a year, but we'll see how that goes. And so I went back to work and just really thought about it. I had a very, you know, strong, prior to my corporate career, I had a very strong focus in service, both during the military and after, and had served on a number of boards. I was actually the service chair for the Emory Alumni Association. And so I just thought about it and said, you know, I'm you know, the opportunity was there. Right. And I think it was just kind of a strange kind of, you know, tomorrow's not promised, so let's try to do it now and see what happens.
Well,
so.
Brandon, we talk about this all the time, but you got to get up and get out of the house, oh, yeah. get off the couch and meet people, because that's going to help you grow professionally and personally. She was under the weather from some surgery, going around Target, and randomly moves into somebody. You never know when it could happen.
Yeah.
And
great
now look at,
right.
But I love that story of just total randomness, connecting again with an old friend, and but still having that desire to serve and give back and do something more. And then here we are today. Yeah. So get off the couch.
You have to grow your network, and then you have to, you know, hang out there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, run across people at Target.
And those early years of BYD and Associates, what was that like for you? It was very challenging. Did you lean on anybody in the early years to help mold the business?
You know, I still consider it the early years. So.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that long ago. It was 4 years ago. So I do, and I have to say, I you know, being in Atlanta as long as I have, and kind of having a good network of people to lean on, the work I've done, I've been able to reach out to people I've known for years to work on my projects and things like that. So a lot of where I think the networking and having really good both personal and professional relationships is that a lot of small businesses really have a challenge of finding good people. Like, you know, although we haven't had a ton of work, you know, that has fortunately never been my challenge. And so, you know, that definitely helps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it also helps when you're in a city where you've got relationships. A lot of times building those, ironically, the federal work we've done has not been local. It's not been in D.C., but ironically. So, you know, those, you know, but I still think we are in startup four. And, you know, it ebbs and flows. The biggest challenges for me as a small business owner are both, you know, cash flow and startup capital, which I actually use my own money, which they always tell you not to do. But I'm like, well, you know, people aren't lining up to give small business capital.
Yeah, they tell you not to do it, but that's what's done.
Right. That's what's done.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then just bandwidth, you know, as a small business owner, it can be very challenging to kind of figure out, okay, there's a million things I could be doing. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what three things am I going to bite off today?
Is that how you kind of strategically look at each day? I mean, you got so much going on.
I do. And it's funny, my parents were visiting me. My office is actually downstairs in my home. It's about the size of this office. And my dad walks in and he goes, this looks like a dispatch because I have like all these. I was like, oh, habits die hard, I guess.
But you have a system, right?
And
you have the daily routines that you go through to make sure you're working on those problems within the business that need to help.
So,
get more business.
You know, and when you're kind of in stage one or stage two, which I would put my business in, you know, there's always the time management of you're probably still doing delivery, depending on what you do. You know, it'll take a while before you are completely hands off of actually doing any client delivery. But then you're also managing the business and you're also doing the financials and you're also doing the year end paperwork, which is what we're doing now. And you're also, you know, pulling together proposals and building teaming relationships. So, you know, I would say that the challenge in addition to startup capital is usually just bandwidth. There's just no shortage of, and also being able to manage, you have to invest in your own training and personal development as a business owner. And so even with that, I mean, there's good trainings and there's not so good trainings. And there's, you know, there's a capital investment that has to happen. And so you have to make sure you're managing that effectively. So this year I decided to, I was nominated for Leadership DeKalb, which I'm doing now, which has been really good, but also not only for my professional development, but also developing networks of people who are like-minded and kind of have a very strong commitment to corporate community engagement, which is kind of key to our corporate values. Mm-hmm.
And I like how you're giving back locally, you know, DeKalb County specifically.
Right.
You know, you could be part of a veterans organization that's a national kind of thing or even a state, but you are really working in the backyard of where you live.
And, you know, ironically, I've always lived in DeKalb County. I was not aware until I last few years that your address may say Atlanta, but it's not really Atlanta. And I was just like, how does that work exactly? So, I've probably been on a half a dozen boards. So I was on the board of Atlanta Community Tool Bank for many years. I was on the board of House Proud, which used to be part of Atlanta Community Tool Bank. I was on the board of Kipsoff Fulton Academy. And so I was on one of the startup boards for the Center for Civil and Human Rights. And a lot of the civic work I've done has all been focused in city of Atlanta or South Fulton. And I really haven't been engaged in DeKalb County where I live and work. So that was also a really big focus, is that this would allow me to really, really, really dive deep and learn more about DeKalb County in a way I probably wouldn't have an opportunity to any other way.
Wow. So as a veteran, she says, get involved in your community. Don't be lazy.
Right.
Right. Because she's not.
Right. Well, any recommendations you would have for somebody who wants to get some professional development or as they're running a company? What are some good first steps for them or organizations they should be part of?
I would say, to your point, you know, learn as much as you can before you make the leap. And I say that because some of the trainings, there's a lot of free trainings out there. Some are better than others. Some, I think, will also resonate to where you are. I know when I was actually doing some of the small business trainings now, when I worked at SunTrust, SBA was actually in the building next door. So I could literally, like, on my lunch break, go to an SBA training.
That's convenient.
It was pretty convenient. See, I think that was like divine intervention. Right. But
the SBA is a great resource. We've had Jorge Valentin Stone in here.
Yeah.
So there's over like 30 modules online that you can learn.
And there's a lot of information. Even when you go, I mean, I was a federal contractor both at Bearing Point and Price Waterhouse. So I already had a certain amount of understanding of kind of how certain programs worked. So I say that you will attend some. It may be a little too, you know, I was like, you know, some of the stuff was very informative and some of it was like, I kind of knew this already.
Yes.
And so it's best to figure that out before you take the leap. So I would say step one is, you know, give yourself about a year or so before you really want to take the leap and try. And it was 2 years between when I actually incorporated the business and when I actually kind of said, hey, I might do this.
What was the point when you said now's the time to like turn the on-air light on or turn the switch on to say now BYD Associates is open?
It was really doing, so our first client was the Eastlake Foundation, and it was just really a great opportunity to just do work for an amazing organization. And, you know, at the end of the day, I have very good relationships at SunTrust. I very much enjoyed working there, and I was like, you know, SunTrust isn't going anywhere.
Right.
You know, so it was also that, but it was just having the right opportunity. I do see where people will leave and they don't have either a contract or something lined up, and that's a bit riskier. Yeah. I mean, even leaving and having a contract, I mean, contracts end, they change, they may modify. And so there's a risk with it even doing it that way. But I would definitely recommend kind of doing your homework, having savings. I think last time I was here, I kept saying, you know, I was able to do the things I was able to do because I'm a pretty frugal person. And so, you know, the fact that I, you know, when I left SunTrust, I mean, the only debt I have is my mortgage, which is very reasonable. And so that meant that, you know, there were times I did have to live off of savings and there were times I did have to make investments because I couldn't take out a small business loan. They're just at the time, the economy and banks weren't really doing a lot of startup capital. And to a certain extent, they really aren't. And the startup capital they do is really pretty small. And so all of those things are a factor. I always say entrepreneurship is not as sexy as it sounds. And so
no, it's not.
People think it's ooh, you have a business, great. I'm like, it's terrifying most days, so you know.
But you thought it out strategically. You had a plan. You work congruently with your regular job. And I say that all the time. You don't have to choose one or the other. Work them simultaneously and something will appear. But my strategy for going to a market with a new business is a little different. It's leap and the net will appear.
I can't say that.
Don't recommend that?
No, I don't recommend it for everyone. But I like that riskiness myself.
Yeah. No. I mean, my father was a paratrooper and I don't think he would agree with that.
Yeah, of course. Don't jump out the bird without the chute attached to your back.
And so, so VYD and Associates, what do you, you know, so what's a pain that a business is having that they may need to pick up the phone and call you?
So Areas there we're very strong in is kind of organizational assessment. We've actually done one for Georgia Tech. A lot of times, and I can say it now that I'm a business owner, and you can kind of see it from, you know, I was a career consultant, and now I'm seeing how businesses kind of get focused on something. You know, time changes so much. And so a lot of times figuring out people, process, or tools, you know, are we doing the right thing? I mean, it's just like taking your car in for a checkup. I think businesses of any size really have a need to do that.
Mm-hmm. So the business may not even be aware they need your services.
You know, I think businesses know something's out of sync. They just don't know why.
It's like your car, right? You kind of know when it's time to take it.
Well, would it be the CEO or is it like the CMO or somebody in the C-suite that's thinking that, you know, something's not right here and then they need to pick up and call you?
And, you know, depending on the size of the business, it may not be the CEO. If it's a larger business, not so much. And also we've done a lot of project management office and where your IT, you know, how you manage projects across your enterprise, making sure that your IT investment aligns with your strategic goals. Sometimes we see that, you know, people don't want to make an investment, particularly in IT, just because it's costly and they don't want to do it now. And it's one of those things where a lot of times it can have a negative impact on your business over the long haul by not figuring that out. Mm. I mean, people do everything online. You know, I'm also on an advisory board for Citizens Trust Bank here locally. And that's been relatively new. But you know, a part of the reason I was asked to be on that is that I kind of had that experience from SunTrust of, you know, I came into SunTrust when I was really helping them kind of stand up IT portfolio management for the bank. Mm. And so, you know, big or small organizations need to figure out how to do that effectively. Mm. So, you know, and I would say I'm from a pretty IT savvy family. My dad was a systems analyst, so we joke about the Daniel's geek gene. It doesn't matter what you go to college for, you will end up doing IT.
Something technology related. That's right.
Yeah, my younger cousin was a sociology major, and she's an intel officer in the Coast Guard.
Oh, wow.
She just likes to pull stuff apart and whatever.
That's funny.
So, you know, there's certain things that, you know, I you know, don't take for granted when it comes to just kind of technology and things like that. It moves at the speed. I mean, if you've got a smartphone, you know, it updates like every 6 months, you know? So I think even now it's very challenging for medium and small businesses to really figure out what's a good balance of what we need to invest to kind of stay current or what's overinvestment, what's underinvestment. That's really important.
Hmm. So stay connected to your business and make sure you're staying ahead of the curve when it comes to technology. And if you have any questions about the health or long-term vitality of your business, maybe you need to give Vanetta a call over there and figure that out for you. And she can help.
She has got more experience than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, I know it. I know. The list could go on and on. Her resume is something else for sure. Well, if they need your services, what's the best way to get?
You can go to our website, which is vydandassociates.com, and the and is spelled out. And you can contact me from the website as well. Yeah. We also have a Facebook page and a LinkedIn.
Okay, LinkedIn, yep.
We'll be posting that up on our website once the show is published in a couple days from now. So look for it for there. And then the final segment of the show, we'll just kind of open it up for more of a roundtable. Talking about Atlanta, how are we doing? What is the health of the veteran community? So back to you, Carl. You've been here for a while. You know, what do you think the state of affairs of veterans in Atlanta is?
Well, I've actually been impressed. There's kind of like silent majority or secret majority. There's a bunch of veterans that are here and a bunch of veterans that are entrepreneurial, but also kind of serving in mentorship capacities, both formal and informal. And it's getting stronger as there are more veteran businesses coming to the fore. It'd be great if Caesar Mitchell or other powers that be were to find a way to support veteran businesses with some kind of a set aside or some sort of benefit to small veteran-owned businesses.
A city initiative of some kind. Yeah.
Yes. And also perhaps at the state level, that would be a great way to support the veteran businesses. But there's a good group of veterans and veteran-owned businesses in the city of Atlanta, and they're we're drawing more here just because it's a vibrant business community, and the barriers to entry are much lower here than they are in cities in the north and places like and in California and things like that, places where it's much more, the regulations are much more difficult to start a business.
And cost of living is greater.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Of course. Whether you're a veteran wanting to be an entrepreneur or you want to go the corporate track, I know there's plenty of businesses here in Atlanta who have hiring initiatives and really rolling out the red carpet to bring veterans on their team. We've talked a lot about the entrepreneur here, but I want to get your perspective on this question, Carl. Should a military veteran or service member put their military honors and awards on their resume?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yes, but I think you have to be mindful of your audience. And I wouldn't put every single thing that you won. Your resume is not an I love me wall.
Right.
Okay, so the fact that you qualified as marksman probably doesn't deserve to be.
Right. Unless you're flying for a job with the police.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
He can shoot at things.
Yeah, to the point being, if you're a sergeant major and you got 20 years experience, your resume is probably several pages long, but pick those key highlights
right.
And that may translate into the civilian ease, as we often
maybe,
say.
Are you saying maybe the awards that are kind of given to everyone, like the rainbow ribbon? Maybe
good conduct medal.
Good conduct medal, overseas service, maybe those shouldn't be on there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, okay. You want the ones that really kind of stand out or the ones that are going to be applicable to the particular opportunity that you're applying for.
Got it.
And any organizations or outreach groups here in Atlanta that you're particularly involved in or you encourage other veterans to get aware of?
Well, my thought on outreach and community groups is do something that you're passionate about. Okay. I've been involved with a group. It was a Project Grad Atlanta, which was involved with helping at-risk kids graduate from high school and get on to college. For the past 21 years, I've been a coach of a high school mock trial team.
Really?
It's just something I've just, loved doing.
It's the lawyer in you, I think.
And I've just, it's been very, very rewarding. Through that, I've made, connections with other attorneys and other just folks in the community that have, you wouldn't think it wasn't just mock trial related. It's had tentacles that have gone everywhere.
Yeah.
There are organizations that I have been involved with that have been related to specifically to the veterans community, but I haven't been on their boards. I've donated, I've gone to their events, but those are not ones that I have given my time to as much as these other ones. What I have found is whenever there have been folks that have needed services in that area, I've been able to find resources, no matter what that's been, whether it's been job training or whether that's been help with housing or whether it's been help with substance abuse. There's all kinds of resources here for folks that have those needs. But if someone is looking at what they should be involved in, don't be Machiavellian. Do what you're passionate about. Do what you are drawn to, or what calls to you, and those connect. You will find people that are like minded, and that will lead to connections. And don't be bashful and about what you're doing and what your work is and what your business is. Because when I'm working with the mock trial kids, and I was working with the Project Grad people, I would tell them, this is my business. And they'd say, oh, well, do you know so-and-so? Or do you know so-and-so? And then they would make connections for me. And I think that those kind of organic connections are much better than trying to map out, like, oh, I want to do X, so let me, pick this particular charitable organization or board and get on there to try to make that connection. Yeah. Because If you're not authentic in your efforts, people are going to see through that.
No, that's absolutely, I mean, I think it's really important that veterans get out there, not only connect with other veterans, but they also serve their community. So, I mean, you two have that down for sure. And, finding something you're passionate about, mock trial, and you're able to get in there and get involved with them and mentor them at a very young age. And that sets them up for success for their future. So, you know, veterans, they get out, you know, a lot of them are older and or older than, you know, high school kids, right? So getting them when they're a little bit younger and getting their, you know, mind in the game, I think is important. And I think veterans can offer that to today's youth, or, you know, so.
Yes, and, awesome. And Vedetta, your perspective on the Atlanta as whole community from veterans, we're doing pretty good. I mean, you're involved with several organizations.
Yeah, so I'm pretty involved with Vetlanta, which combines not only veterans, but, you know, SunTrust actually now has a veterans recruitment and other organizations that have veterans recruitment. And so it's kind of, for lack of better terms, like interest group / symposium almost. I mean, we have quarterly meetings where we kind of get together and kind of discuss what progress we make, what kind of different initiatives we want to focus on. So I think as far as, but from a business perspective, I think there's still a lot of opportunity for growth. The state of New York actually a few years ago implemented a service-disabled veteran-owned business initiative, and they have seen really great numbers there. And, you know, I've been digging in data specific to this for the last month or so. So, you know, specifically with women veterans, I mean, although they don't have the same number of women veterans as far as when you look at the top 10 states, they're like number 3 as far as women veteran-owned businesses. And I would guess is because they have those
initiatives.
Those initiatives and those programs. So I definitely think that is something that the state of Georgia should implement. You know, we have women and minority-owned business set-asides and things of that nature, but we don't really at a state level have anything that incentivizes doing work with veteran-owned businesses.
Oh, interesting.
So there you hear it, legislators.
I think there's an opportunity there. I'm just going to put that in the
No, universe. I totally agree with that. And we would love to feature more women-owned, veteran-owned businesses here on our program. So if you know of anyone that you can send them our way.
I saw Charlie was here.
She was here a few weeks ago. Yeah, and so we've made that a passion since day one of deciding to do this show, Brandon and I, is to find those women, veteran-owned businesses. Yeah. They're a little harder to find out there, but we've been, you know, shaking the bushes, and we found a few. And so if you know of anyone that would like to come on the program, we'd be happy to feature them.
Definitely will. Yeah.
And so as we begin to close, let's tell our listeners again how they can find you, connect with you, either professionally or personally.
Okay. You can find me at on our website, vydandassociates.com. You can also find us on Facebook or LinkedIn.
vydandassociates.com. Thank you so much, Vedetta. We'll have you back in the studio in 2017. I'm sure you will have lots to share then, and maybe a few more updates on the Atlanta Community and Veterans Initiatives that we're doing.
Okay.
Hopefully. And Carl, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Our website is gcarl.com, and at Facebook and Twitter, it's gcarlgovcon.
Yeah. And I'd love to have you possibly back come in with one of those businesses that you helped and get maybe a 360 view of what they were doing before they engaged Carl, and then what Carl was able to help them do, but get that perspective
from
them, and then come back, and so we'll make that happen next year.
Absolutely. I have a number of woman-owned, veteran-owned small businesses.
Well, there you go. So maybe you should get those people on the show for sure.
And, definitely.
8A as well.
Yeah, okay, cool. Right. And those economically disadvantaged businesses, which the government locally, state, and federally is opening up avenues to operate in. So if you're not aware of that, become aware and get involved and utilize those resources that are out there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, yeah, very good. Episode 21, that is a wrap. Let's again remind our listeners on social media, you can find us Facebook, Veterans Connect Radio, on Twitter, at Vet Connect Radio. We like to use the hashtag Vets Connect, as we believe that we're the only veterans radio show here in Atlanta and the Southeast. But let's also not forget to mention the sponsor of today's show, MarketMate Media, helping your business produce better results in less time. It's all about speed. Go to marketmate.org for more information. And we'll be back next week
for episode number 22.
That's right. 22.
Yep, to wrap up the year.
We're very excited. We got some folks from the Wounded Warrior Project, Project Odyssey coming in.
That's right.
Talk about that, how they're helping veterans. Again, get off the couch.
Yep. Get off the couch. Get motivated.
Talk to people. Right. Don't hide behind the TV screen or your video game console anymore.
That's right.
So
turn the Xbox off.
There's a whole world out there for you. So thank you again to our in-studio guests and Stone Payton and Lee Cantor of the Business Radio X Network. And on behalf of Skolnick over there, I'm Red Hawk. We'll see you next time on Veterans Connect Radio.